want to talk to you today. You know what? I am believing that in 2017, we are going to see a great, I already sense it. I already believe that we're starting to see it and feel it and sense it. A great outpouring of the Spirit, a great moving of the Spirit as people are praying, as people are preparing themselves, as people are recognizing what God is doing and responding to what God is doing, and particularly in this church, that there will be a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and one of the things going to happen is there's going to be great spiritual growth, amen, and great numeric growth in our church. Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen. But what I want to do this week, and then we'll take and then we'll have a guest speaker next week, and then I'll probably preach a little bit more about vision. Everybody say vision. And then, because what I want to teach you is who we are. So I'll teach that today. Then we'll have a guest speaker next week. Then I'll teach it again, a different aspect of this. And then the week after that, we're going to have Armstrong here. So the next 4 weeks, man, I'm telling you what, be ready because it's going to be awesome. But what I want to talk to you today about is this. The sermon title is, This is Who We Are. This is who we are. And I originally had the sermon title, This is What We Do. But I want to change it because I want you to understand who you really are and who we really are. And it's critical. You know, one of the things, we have some shared values in this church. Everybody say shared values. Yes. Things that are important to us. One of the things that are important to us is excellence. Everybody say excellence. And so what we try to do is when you come in, we have all the chairs set up. We have them all, you know what, lined up. The carpet is vacuumed. If it's dirty, we shampoo it. We try to make the sound right. You know what? Everything in everything we did in designing the South Sanctuary, we try to do it with the most excellence that we can. Here's why: because we care about people. See, I learned this from Pastor Bradford. People like to go to nice places. I said, Pastor, that's not very spiritual. Well, wait a minute. Before you judge that spirituality, understand everything needs to be tempered or filtered through the Word of God. Let me tell you what, if God was doing this, he'd do it with the most excellence. I mean, if Jesus was here, he would do it with the most excellence he could. Amen. 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 You want a proof text on that? Okay, Jesus goes to a wedding, they run out of wine, and Jesus turns water into wine, and what do they say about that wine? They say, man, usually the people bring out the good wine first, but in this, I like this wedding. This wedding, they gave us some wine, and then they brought out better wine. Here's what you're learning. When Jesus does it, he does it with excellence. Is that not right? And so when we were in the North Sanctuary, we tried to do everything. That is a shared value. Here's why. Because we have a value for the lost people. And so if we want to care about what they care about. Does this make sense? Yes. And I'm not being negative towards any other churches. You know what? I said this morning, you know what? You could go by church and criticize that church and say, you know, that church, you know, they're not excellent. You have no idea. That pastor, you know what, could be taking care of his wife who got in an automobile accident. And you know what? And he is caring for her and letting the church, you know what, go a little bit. And see, you'd judge him and you'd say, man, that's not right. Pastor Drew does it. Whoa, 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 Bucky. Maybe you don't know everything. So we're not, which is really a great leadway into what I'm teaching today. One shared value that we have in this church is we want to do things with most excellence. But how many know there's something even more important than doing things with excellence as far as getting people to come in here? And here's what I want to share about you today. We have to be a people that will not judge. We have to be a people who will not judge. And I have a lot to say about this today, and I want to go over it with you. I really want to teach you today. How many ever been, this happened to me not so long ago, and I felt bad because I did it to my wife. I didn't mean to do it to my wife, but it was raining, and I went to, she was coming in the van, had power locks in the van. I went to what I thought was unlock the van so she could come in. Instead, I didn't press the, it was already unlocked. So when I pressed it, what did I do? I locked it, okay? Now, how many know this wouldn't be a good thing, but in the rain, it's even worse. You know what I mean? And I was like, you know what I mean? Okay. Here's what I'm suggesting. What I'm suggesting is, how many would say we want more people to come to our church? How many would raise their hand and say, Pastor, I want that. Okay, see, all over. Okay, and we can have, I think sometimes we have this. Guys, can you put a welcome up here? Do we have a welcome something up here? So we can make a, there you go, welcome. We're glad you're here. Boom, look at that. It's in cool color even. You know what I mean? Cool design, we're welcome. Everybody can see it. And yet, watch this. We can do something that even though we have a sign that says welcome, where we're really pressing the power locks in our church. And so they're seeing it says welcome, but when they go to come in, they don't feel welcome. And here's why. Because the thing that will make them feel the most unwelcome is when they have people who will judge them. Hello? Can we take some time in teaching this today? So turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter. We'll go to chapter 7, but let's start off with chapter 6. Actually, before we do that, let's define some words. Let's define some words. I have the definitions up here. Welcome. Let's define welcome. Do you guys have it? Do you have welcome yet? Guys in the back, do you have that? No, you don't have it. You do have it. You don't have it. Okay, well, I got it. Amen. So here's what welcome means. Welcome means to receive appreciatively the presence of another and communicate it to them. To receive appreciatively. You're happy. You're appreciating that they're here. You receive appreciatively the presence of another and communicate that to them. Okay. Number two, let's define judgment. Judgment is a negative assessment of another person based on a superficial sense of superiority. A negative assessment of another person based on a superficial sense of superiority. Now, I know for all of us, we want to welcome people. But it's got to be more than just a sign. It's got to be more than just words. And so here's what happens. How many of you, when you first started coming to this church, be honest, somebody, I won't ask you what your sins were. But how many of you, when you first came started coming to church, you were jacked up? Raise up your hand. Come on. Raise it real high. Don't be ashamed. Okay. See, all okay. Right. And then what happened? Okay? Not that you're perfect, because you're not perfect. But what happened is, in the process of hearing the word preached, and for some of you, you started coming every Sunday, and then you started coming every Sunday and Wednesday. Some of you got in OSL. Man, matter of fact, I encourage every single one of you. We have level one, level two, level three coming up. Get into our Academy of Righteousness classes. They're coming up. Get in. But some of you got in those classes, and what happened is the word started changing your mind as far as what you started to judge what was right and what was wrong. And then it started changing your mind, and as you think, so you are. And so you started to make different judgments, and you started to make judgments according to God's word, good choices, good life. God knows more than you. He's way smarter than you. And you started to get on his plan, and it was a better plan. How many would say God's plan is better than your plan? Okay, his ways are higher than your ways. And so you got on that plan. And what happened is you started to say, whoa, this is cool. My life is getting better. How many's lives started getting better since they started coming to Hope? And it's not because of a building. It's because of our commitment to teach the word of God. The word of God will change your life forever. And so, and just when you thought, man, I got this down, you came and heard another sermon and heard another word from the Lord, and it started changing your life more, and it got better and better and better. Amen. How many experienced what I'm talking about? And you're still experiencing stuff, what I'm talking about. Here, okay, so you're not a bad person, but here's the issue. Then somebody comes in who used to be like you. And they come in, and you're like, dude, you've been smoking some weed? Because, hello, or whatever the situation is. You know what? Anger, or just relationships issues, all this stuff. Alcoholism, just stuff that people get into. Because they don't know. And because the world is telling me this old sad. You know what? Dr. Radke said, I just had to anesthetize myself. You know what? Some people, life is so stressful. That's why they drink. Hello. I'm not making an excuse for them. I'm just saying. The world has nothing good for you, but you listen to the world, that's where you end up. And here's what happens. Now, let's go back to the definition. Now, you have a negative assessment of another person based on a superficial sense of superiority. Can I tell you what? Thank God for you. Thank God for the word. Thank God for the difference that your life is turning. Thank God for, you know what? You're a better husband. You're a better wife. You don't fly off on, you know what? You don't get angry so easily. You know what? You're just better. Thank God for it. But listen to me very carefully. But you are not superior to them. You're not superior to them. And when we think that comes across to people. You might think it doesn't, but it comes across to people. And it will hinder what God wants to do here. So we need to get this understanding of who we are. Who is Hope? Let me tell you who we are. We are not people who judge people. Amen. Okay, now let me say this, because you say, yep, Pastor, I remember in the North Sanctuary you taught, we don't judge the world, but we're supposed to judge, you know what, people who are in the church. Okay, remember that's what Paul writes. Okay. Well, let me teach you what, we are never to be judgmental. If correction comes, the Bible says, do it with a spirit of humility. Least that very thing come upon you. Pride comes before a fall. and you think you're all that mega chips and being superior over that person, and listen, you don't correct people. If you're correcting people with a sense of superiority, you're not doing it the way that God tells you to do. You're judgmental, and the Bible says, don't do that. Hello? Are we together? All right, so let's see what the Bible says in Luke chapter 6, verse 36 and 38. Okay. Therefore, be merciful just as the Father also has mercy for you. Do you appreciate God's mercy? You know what God's mercy is? You know what mercy is? Mercy is you not getting what you deserve. How many know that's good? Amen. Okay. How many like God's mercy? Okay. Then you be merciful to somebody else. Watch this. Watch this. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Given will be given unto you. Good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you measure, that you use it, it'll be measured back to you. Go back to the verse 37, and I'll teach you a hermeneutical principle. Okay. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Take what God says and flip it over. What's the reciprocal of that? If you judge, you're going to be judged. If you condemn, you're going to be condemned. If you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven. Okay. Amen. I'm just teaching what the Bible says. Amen. How many know this is a critical thing? James chapter 2, verse 13. Look at this. James chapter 2, verse 13. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. For judgment is without mercy to the one who shown no mercy. Man, that is a good verse to remember. Amen. Now let's go to Luke. Luke chapter 29. Now understand, Jesus has just said in the chapter before that, you know what, that however you measure it out, that's what's going to be measured back to you. Right? So in Luke chapter 7, verse 29, watch this. And when the people heard him, even the tax collectors justified God, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees, everybody say Pharisees. Pharisees. Now Pharisees, Jesus was very, they did a lot of stuff that was just messed up. They cared all about the outside, but the inside they didn't take care of. How many know God doesn't care so much of the outside, but he cares a lot about the inside? These guys were, and you'll see it in the story, some of the most judgmental people ever. But they were some of the most judgmental, self-righteous. I'm good, you're not. I'm going to tell you I'm good, and I'm going to tell you how bad you are. Just not cool with God. All right? Verse 30, but the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the will of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. Verse 31, and the Lord said, to what then shall I liken the men of the generation, and what are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another, saying, we played the flute, but you did not dance. We mourned, and you did not weep. All eyes up here. Huh? What does that mean? You ever read the Bible and it's like, I don't even know what it means. You know what I mean? Or just go on to the next verse. Hello? Okay. Well, let's see what it means. Verse 35. Because it's going to explain it. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say he has a demon. John the Baptist was like, you know what? I mean, no, John the Baptist didn't have no fancy clothes. Oh, You know what I mean? Right? Camel hair and you know what? Ate, you know what? You know what? Honey and locusts. Man, how many know this guy wasn't the most, he was just radical dude. Okay, watch this. So he says, John the Baptist, here's what he did. You know what? For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine. He wasn't refined. And you say he has a demon. Look, verse 34. The Son of Man, that's Jesus, has come eating and drinking, and you say, look, a glutton, a wine bibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. You know what he's saying? He's saying, hey, this guy's like this, and I'm like this. You criticize him, you know what? You know what? For not drinking wine, and then you criticize me because I'm willing to sit down and have a glass of wine with somebody. What is it? Here's what he's catching. Listen, here's what he's catching. He's catching a critical spirit. You know, I do this and you say that. He does that, just the opposite, and you get on him. You know what? Here's what you are. You have a critical spirit. You judge everyone, and you know what? Everyone's wrong, but not you. Hello? I'm preaching to somebody here. Hello, I said I'm preaching to somebody here. You know what? Everybody's wrong but you. You're the only one who does it right. Amen. 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 And can I tell you what? Many people in the church, this is what they do. And pastors feel like they got to do everything right, but they can't. Because it's not about them doing it right. It's about a critical, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. It's not about them doing everything right. First of all, let me tell you this. Tamara and I are not going to do everything right. So put that in your purse and swing it. Amen? Amen. I'm still smiling, aren't I? Okay. But second of all, get this. Listen, we are not going to have people come in this place and love to be here until we have a shared value to say, you know what, listen, we are not going to have a critical spirit. You know what? Well, I think they should do it like this. I think you should do it like that. I think you should do it like this. I think you ought to put your finger away. Amen. That's what I think. Listen, and let Jesus speak to us. You know what? You say... Now you catching this? You know what? We play the flute for you and you don't dance. You know what? And then we're like, let's have it festive. You know what I mean? Like, man, you know what? They're jumping around too much. All right, let's have it mellow. Man, they're not excited enough. Stop it, man. Amen. Are you catching this? Watch this go down to 36. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he said to the Pharisees, he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. Cool. The Pharisee is saying, hey, okay, I gotcha. Come on over and eat with me. That's cool, is it not? Come on over. Jesus accepts everyone. He's willing. And I'm telling you what, he was like, he knew how the Pharisees were, but when the Pharisee says, hey, come on over to my house, Jesus says, yeah, I'll go. Amen. But watch this. And behold, that means, hey, check this out. And behold, a woman of this city who was a sinner. Let me tell you what that means. It means, if you look it up, if you research it, here's what she was. She was a prostitute. Okay. She was a woman in the city. It's not saying, she lived in Los Angeles. That's not what it's saying. It's saying she was a prostitute, okay? And when she knew that Jesus was at the table of the Pharisee's house, how many people were checking out where Jesus went? She brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. She stood at his feet behind him, weeping. How many know your body language? You speak with your body language. You know what? Most of your communication is not with your mouth, it's with your body language. People pick up on that. So she doesn't come boldly to him. Hey, Jesus, I want to talk to you. She comes behind him at his feet. Now, let me tell you what's going on there. I mean, at that part of the world, you know what? It gets very hot. They don't have air conditioning. They're eating, but they would lay down and eat because it would be cool down there. So they could just, you know what I mean? That was kind of like their air conditioning. Let's not have these big high tables. Let's, chill out down here where it's a little cooler. So she comes behind his feet and she starts crying. How many know, in the presence of God, your sin can get revealed? You know what? Smith Wigglesworth would get on a train going somewhere and people would just cry out, I repent of my sin. He hadn't even saying anything. But he has spent a lot of time in the presence of God, and so now he comes on the train and they feel the presence of God because he's there. You know what? And boom, they're repenting. He hadn't even said anything. She's in the presence of God. She's weeping. She's crying. Watch this. She's crying so profusely. Guys, let me talk to you. How many of you can watch a movie and you can get like a little, you can start to tear up. But like if you just wait a little while, that tear won't even come out of your eye. And you're like, dude, I'm cool. I wasn't crying. Right? Come on. Okay. But how many know there's sometimes you can cry and this woman, there was water coming out of her eyes enough to wash his feet. She is crying profusely. Verse 28, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and she began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe with her hair on her head, and she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. Okay. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, watch his criticalness, he spoke to himself saying, this man, watch this, he's going to judge her and he's going to judge Jesus. Watch this. This man, if he were a prophet, he would know how and what manner of woman this is who is touching him. Ugh. For she is a sinner. Watch. And it's so interesting to see who Jesus is going to correct in this story. Is he going to correct the prostitute, or is he going to correct the religious leader? Watch this. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. He said, teacher, say it. There's a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. Let me give you the dimensions. The one guy owes like 2 years worth of salary. The other guy owes like 2 weeks. So 2 weeks, you know what I mean? Oh, that's a lot. But how many know that's not like 2 years, right? And then when he had nothing with which to pay, he freely forgave them both. Everybody say both. Tell me whether which of them will love him more. Simon answered and said, I suppose the one who forgave him more. He said to him, you have rightly judged. Are you with me still? Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon. Then he turned, catch this. He turned to the woman. Watch this. But he said to Simon. He's turning to her, but he's speaking to him. Look what he says. Do you see this woman? Now, how many know he wasn't asking him, hey, Simon, are you blind? Because I was eating, I didn't even notice. I thought maybe you'd blind. You know, how many know he wasn't asking him if he could see? He was asking him to notice the woman. Okay, let's park it here for a little bit. Sometimes we see people with our eyes, but we don't see them with our hearts. And we make these judgments based on stuff that you don't know. See, where would you be in your spiritual development if you had been raised with no father and a mother that was on drugs? I'm just asking. Or where would you be spiritually if you were raised with a mom and a dad that were totally materialistic? Or where would you, do I need to go on? See, there's all this stuff you don't know about. Thank you, Peter. There's all this stuff that you don't know about, but you won't make judgments about. And here's why. Because you're not looking at them with a heart of compassion. You're just looking at them on this external, you know what? Well, let me tell you what. You know what? She is a prostitute. And Jesus says, man, Simon, Simon. Looks at her and he says to Simon, Simon, do you see this woman? Here, let me just tell you what he's going to say. He's going to say, Simon, 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 you should be tripping out on this woman with admiration. Because when I came in, you didn't wash my feet. You didn't even give me any water for my, you didn't even say, hey, they're walking all over the place. You know what I mean? You ever been walking, your feet look like awful, you know, and dirty? I mean, some of you went on, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, I know what I'm talking about. Because sometimes, I like to walk barefoot. Sometimes my feet will look nasty. Amen? And it's nice, you know what, to have, you know, to wash your feet. Especially back then. But you didn't even pay attention to that. She is so humble. She's anointing my feet. You didn't even anoint my head. See, Simon's looking at her like she is a prostitute. Jesus is looking at her saying, man, Simon, who's the righteous one in this room? Who, Simon, who is the unrighteous one in the room? Because you don't see it right. You're thinking her as negative. And I'm thinking, man, she's awesome. Are you catching this? Where am I? And she turned to the woman and Simon said, oh, thank you, 44. And he turned to the woman and said, Simon, do you see her? I enter this house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet and her tears and wiped them with her hair on her head. You have no kiss. But this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, who's he talking to? Simon. He says to Simon, you know what? Therefore, I say to you. Oh, I'm sorry. Therefore, I say to you. He's talking now to her. He's talking to Simon. Therefore, I say, I'm telling Simon, but I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do for her. Watch this. Her sins, which are many. Jesus knows what's going on. Are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Okay. Now let me tell you where most people miss it. Most people in this story think the whole analogy of the story is like who has forgiven much, loves much, who, you know what I mean, that whole thing. Oh, she loved more than Simon did because she was so messed up. You missed the whole point of the story. She recognized how jacked up she was. Simon was just as jacked up as she was, but Simon didn't recognize it. I'm just asking. For those of you who've come to this church and you have stopped whatever the stop you used to do, you stopped it and you're walking in more holiness. I'm just asking. If you had a true assessment of yourself, do you think you have stop behavior that you shouldn't have? Do you think you have more or less still to stop? It's your assessment. Okay, I'm just saying, you know, here's what I'm saying. The people who really know a lot, you know what they recognize? They don't know very much. I'm just humbly saying, my suggestion to you is, with all the nasty things that you used to do, and you came and the word has changed your life, thank God for it. My humble suggestion is, there's probably way more stuff you still have to go. See, they both were jacked up. She just recognized how jacked up she was. And because she recognized how jacked up she was passionate for Christ. That's the point of the story. Are you learning something? So they come in with all their baggage, just like you came in with all your baggage. Remember 2 weeks ago I preached a sermon and I wanted you to understand that Paul would only identify with him, with the spirit man. Remember this? He says, when I sin, I don't do it. And I talked about the importance of you identifying with who you are in Christ Jesus. Remember this? Reckon yourself dead to sin. And I preach that. It's right. It's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. You now identify with your spirit man. Okay, not with how you used to be. You know, I love that new song because it talks about, you know, behold, all things are new. Amen? I love songs that are proclaiming what God says. Okay. But here's what tripped me out. Paul says in another place, writing to Timothy also, he says this. He says, you know what? Christ has saved me. And he says, thank God he saved me, you know, a sinner. And he says, of which I am chief. And I recognize what Paul was saying as I read this, what he was doing. He wasn't identifying with him fact of a sinner, but he was remembering and recognizing the grace of God in his life. Amen. See, when we will recognize the mercy and the grace of God in our lives and focus on that, we won't judge other people. We'll recognize. Amen? So let me, can I tell you a story? Okay. And really, I got to stop, but I have five other awesome points that I will be preaching next in 11 o'clock service. Yeah. I'm just saying. Yeah. If you think I'm egging you on, you're right, I am. But, okay, I'm just saying. But it's as the Spirit leads, because I need to be obedient to what the Holy Spirit is saying. So let me tell you a story. Men's conference. This pastor is preaching on, you know what, the favor of God. He's done preaching, and he's talking about how we will do things in our life that will just stupid choices that we'll make. He's talking to all men. Stupid choices that will make men, and that will cause the favor of God to just fly off. You know, this just awesome relationship that you could have had with your wife, that God wants you to have with your wife, and because of just a stupid, cheap thrill, you'll throw it out the window. Right? I mean, this is probably a good sermon to hear. And he gets done. He says, I hadn't even I hadn't even given an altar call yet. I was going to, but hadn't given it yet. And somebody comes down to the front. And within moments, there's five more guys come down the front. And then within moments, there's all these people down front. And he says, here's what he did. He went to the first guy who came down front, and here's what he said. He said, "Brother, why are you up here?" And he wasn't conscious of whether the mic was on or whether it wasn't. And before he could know what was going on, this guy blurted out a bunch of stuff that was like, okay. And he felt bad because he thought, oh my goodness, off. I don't know if it was off or on. I didn't know if the sound guys turned it off. I have no idea now how many people heard this. And what do I do with this situation? And here's what he said just came out of his spirit in response. He said, God totally backed me. But from his spirit, here's what he came up with. And here's what he said to this guy. He said, I am you. I am that man. And then he backed up, made sure the mic was on, and said, you guys, we're him. See, that person who comes in, and they got all kinds of issues. Can I tell you what? We are them. And when you start to identify with the fact that it is by the grace of God. You know what the Bible says? That anything that you received from God. So Paul says, catch this. So Paul says, so why are you acting as if you didn't receive it from God? Do you understand how this changes everything? In how you think, and how you treat, and how you act? Because this sermon title is not what we do. It's got to go deeper. It's got to be who we are. We've got to, and listen, and I need to state this. I'm not saying that we don't have standards of righteousness. I'm not saying you're going to come in the church and we're not going to say, hey, listen, according to God's word, this is wrong and this is right. It's my last point. You'll catch it next service if you stay. I'm not trying to entice you, but maybe I am a little bit, actually. But here's what I'm saying. My last point of five things that I'm going to teach you is, but my last point is, we don't judge because God is the judge. And God is going to say, this is wrong and this is right. And if he says this is wrong, we are going to graciously love people to tell them that's wrong. But not in a judgmental place, but is a salvation place. Do you understand the difference? So our commitment, I don't want you to walk away thinking, oh, Pastor's backing up. He's not going to. No. I am not going to judge. I'm going to say what God says. You know what? And if he says that's wrong, then guess what? That's wrong. And it's not a judgmental thing. It's a love thing that you tell people the truth. But they will know if you come off with this arrogant, self, you know what, righteous. I used to be like that, and I'm not like that anymore. No, you are that man. Well, I've never done that. Well, maybe you didn't do that. But maybe you did 38 other things. Is that not right? Yeah. What we have a tendency to do is we have a tendency to criticize, you know what? Because we're strong in an area. You know what I mean? So, you know what? I can play drums a little. You come up, try to play drums. I'm like, dude, you know, you can't even clap right. You know what I mean? Right? Well, who do you think gave me that sense of rhythm? God gave it. So why are you acting like it wasn't given by God? What is your strength? Well, I'm not. Listen, you have that strength because God gave it to you. And they have strengths that you don't have. So don't look condescending on anyone. Ever. Okay, I'll say one more thing. I'll say one more thing. Okay, no. I'm done. I gotta stop. Did you learn something today? Are you glad you're here today? Can we together say, as a church, how many want our church to grow? Okay. Can we together not as God is by his grace perfecting us as we're looking more and more like Jesus, can we together say, I never want to be Simon. I want to be like that woman. Father, help us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name. Can somebody say amen? Amen, 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 amen.